soap, grow, and produce.
Amen. Amen. God is certainly up to something here. And because he's everywhere, I hope he's up to something where you come from. And I believe that this is kingdom right here, where you can come no matter the color of your skin, no matter the denomination. It's a tough one, no matter your upbringing. God is God, and God is everywhere. He can be there and here at the same time. Amen. It's called his omnipresence. Yes, and he's omnipotent. He's omnipresent. He's omniscient. He's everywhere, all-seeing, all-knowing. God. Is God not amazing? Amen. Amen. To our first-time guests, we welcome you. This is, you know it already, Beyond Measure Ministries, where we sow, grow, and produce. And we believe that we give everything over to Jesus, the Holy Spirit, what he wants to do in this place. So I say, allow God to speak to you. Allow God to speak to you, and don't look at the man, but look to Jesus. Amen. For those of you all that are visiting here for the first time, I want to meet with you following service, my right, your left, in our fellowship lounge. And our welcome team will hook up with you following service to lead you into that room. God bless you. One more time, how do we feel about our guests? Amen. I'm going to jump right to the word, because I will tell you it's late in the game, but, you know, I've got some churchy people. I've got some unchurched folks, and we're just going to let God do what he do. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, and we'll begin reading at the 12th verse. If you can, able and obedient, if you would please stand for the reading of God's word. If you don't have a Bible, our hospitality staff will provide one for you. We pray that you would take that word. It's not ours, but it's his. He's the author. Take it, read it, meditate on it. Amen. If you can, able and willing, please stand for the reading of God's word. Ephesians 6. Begin reading at verse 12. It reads, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Let me read it again, because it's thick in here. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities." And we got the power to tear them down. "Against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." 16 says, "Above all," say above all, "taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." We've been in a series entitled The Arm of God, The Call of Duty, Kingdom Operations. Today, the focus is going to be on the shield of faith. Somebody say the shield of faith. The shield of faith. And you may take your seats. You know, whenever God is up to something, the devil always tries to intervene. And I like what God gives us, because he's already given us the power and the authority to speak and get over the satanic rulership that he brings. So I know nothing to do but to preach the gospel, which is the word, and I'm going to preach it by faith. And we've already won the battle. So there's no need for us to flee. In fact, I want you to note this. Spiritual attacks are inevitable. in this life, but spiritual failures aren't. Spiritual attacks in this life are inevitable, but spiritual failures aren't. God has, in this text, has provided several pieces of what we would call armament. Equipment, if you will. Armor for us to wear so that we can survive the spiritual attacks and or battles in this life. In fact, in verse 14, he starts off with the belt of truth. Truth comes from the knowledge of God. And if you're going to win the battle, you heard me say this many times, in this spiritual realm, truth. Somebody say truth. Come on, make the devil mad. He doesn't like truth. Say truth. Truth comes from the knowledge of God. So if you're going to win this spiritual battle in this spiritual realm, truth must be constantly worn or put on concerning the armor of God, because Satan knows that if you aren't committed to truth, here it is, he can suck the life out of you. What do you mean by that, Pastor? I mean that he can literally suck the life out of any situation that God has set you up for. The enemy will suck the life out of you if you don't know the truth. Out of your marriage, people want to know, how is it that they have become so bitter? Even in your marriage, or even in your singleness or your singlehood, it's because you have not become whole yet. And single people, just like married people, who aren't whole become bitter. So if you're bitter and you're around people who consider themselves whole, if they don't impart in you, that means that they are imparting in them, and that means that they're sharing bitterness into your life. You have to dispel or dispose bitterness in one's life. How do we do that? We do that by speaking and preaching and teaching the truth. The Bible says that the truth is the only thing that will set you free. It's the only thing that will liberate you. In fact, you will continue to be in pain and in misery until somebody deposits truth in your situation. And I don't mean quoting scripture. Did you not know that you can have perfect attendance in the church and quote every scripture and never have an intimate relationship with God? Oh my goodness. You can come to every service, you can shout, you can dance, you can jump and touch the ceiling, but it does not mean that you had a personal encounter with God. We prove that in the text, because Jesus was dealing with the Pharisees, and look, y'all are legalistic. That's the difference between, we're talking about religion and being religious, that's the difference between a relationship and religion. This text, this living document, this truth is about a relationship. I always challenge people who study on a great level, which we all should, concerning the notes that they offer or they give. I want to know about your relationship, because when you get into that hellish situation, you can quote all the scriptures you want and you can plead all the blood that you want, but if you don't know the one who shed the blood, you're not going to go too far. Satan quotes scripture. In the book of Matthew, he said, the word says. He was talking to the word. That's another sermon. I felt to go that route. Let me come back here. The truth must be constantly put on. Three pieces of the equipment you must wear all the time. You heard me say that a few weeks ago. And there's the other three that you must put on constantly. Constantly. Today we're dealing with the shield of truth. The shield of truth. The faith shield. The next verse says, let me read this. Then he says, put on the breastplate of righteousness, which means to attach your heart to the truth, so that it will in truth be called righteousness. And then in the next verse, it says to have your feet of the gospel, the feet of peace, the feet in peace, the feet of peace, the feet of peace. What did it say? Feet of peace in the gospel, that we shall be operating, living, walking in peace. You know, the peace of God, the peace of God. Let me tell you what the peace of God is. The peace of God is when you have a calm and it doesn't make sense. The peace of God is tranquility. The peace of God is when you're in this crazy situation. You haven't taken not one pill. You haven't taken not one drink. Let's be real in here. You haven't taken any of those things. You haven't watched this. You hadn't sat before the person that's talking to you about space. No, the peace of God is when you're in hell upside down and God somehow breathes on you and gives you peace. The peace of God is when people around you say, how are you still living? How are you still doing? How are you still attached to the church? How are you still doing ministry? How are you still breathing? Child, how are you still doing that? It's God. Let me help you out. It's not your money. It's not your fancy car you drive. It's certainly not in that house you live in. It is the peace of God. You can't buy this. It's not on the shelf. It's not on a rack. It's not on a hanger. It is the peace of God that you have to grow into. Right? Because if you don't have knowledge of it, then that tells me that you won't understand what it is. But the peace of God runs contrary to your thought patterns and process, because your flesh tells you that you should be crazy, you should be losing your mind, you should be throwing in a towel, you should quit, you should give up, because that's what society brings to us. But the peace of God, somehow, even though I'm in the pain, I'm in misery, he gives me a calm. Like the river, the stream that's running down. Even while the wind is going crazy, even while the trees are blowing, the river still flows. He says in the book of John, he says, out of your belly shall flow, what? Rivers of living water. I mean, that is the Spirit of God. He shall continuously flow in my life. Huh. I said, and then the next verse says, to have, watch this, I told you, the feet of peace, which is the gospel. Watch this, true peace doesn't come from a pill. And the pill poppers in here, don't raise your hand. Been popping pills for 10 years because somebody told you it's going to make you feel good. But watch this, true peace doesn't come from a pill. True peace comes from the gospel. So how do I access all of this that you say that I have, Pastor? Because you told me in the text, in fact, Jesus told you that you should have it, and you do have it, you just haven't tapped into it yet. The first thing I want to tell you, that if you aren't a Christian, I want you to be converted and changed, but if you aren't, I want you to be transformed. If you're not a Christian, you have nothing to access. Hope I didn't offend anybody, but it's okay because it's about God. It's about Jesus. Let me say it again. If you're not a believer in Christ Jesus, there is nothing for you to access concerning what I'm talking about. But if you are a blood-washed believer and you have accepted Christ, Jesus the Christ, as your personal Savior in the midst of the spiritual invisible battle that I'm faced with in this physical world, it is found in what the Bible calls faith. Somebody say faith. Many of us, many people today really truly misunderstand faith. I mean, you know, we like faith because that's what the church is supposed to be founded upon, right? We like faith. We quote that scripture. Now faith, Hebrews 11 and 1, now faith. T-shirt, now faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now faith, but do you really know what that means? Have you really broken down the understanding so that you can what? Live by faith. Faith is critical because in verse 16, he says, in addition to all, take up, in 16, take up the shield of faith. Take up the shield of faith. Faith is your access point, Brother Matingas. It says in Romans 5, 1 through 2, faith has given you access to where? To who? To grace. And grace is where God has deposited into you or for you. Everything that God has already done for you, I like this, it's a struggle though. Everything that God has done for you and is doing or is going to do for you has already, watch this, been done. Don't make sense to me, Pastor. Let's go a little bit deeper. Everything that God has done for you has already been done. So there's not a shortage of blessings from God. The problem is that we have, this is the problem, is that there is a shortage of faith. And if there's a shortage of faith, that must mean that we've had to go through a denial phase. A denial phase. So we have a problem with withdrawing it, blessings. We got a problem with it. And we don't have a problem not getting. We have a problem with withdrawing. Faith, here it is, withdraws it from God. Let me say it again. Faith is your ticket to withdraw from God. So people are in a denial phase because they're not receiving, but they don't have the ticket to withdraw from God. If you go to the bus station right now and they deny you a seat on the bus, it's going to be because you don't have a ticket to get on the bus. The Bible says that faith is the only thing that puts a smile on God's face. It's the only thing that pleases God. So faith is the access ticket to withdraw from God. Ah, y'all struggling with it. What are we withdrawing, Pastor? Faith withdraws grace. I'm going to get there in a minute because somebody said it right. I just heard it. You know, we can't earn that. You're right. It's already been given. But the continuation has to be drawn and lifted, elevated by faith. People give up and they leave ministry and they leave relationship because they're no longer receiving what they're trying to withdraw. I come from a background of understanding that you can't draw what you're not putting in. I mean, the Bible says that you reap what you sow. So we have a lot of people trying to reap what they haven't been sowing. And so the question is, and why we fall into the denial phase, is, Pastor, where's the harvest? I say, well, where's the seed? Now, I'm not talking about you sowing into this church, because that'd be a little troublesome. I'm talking about you sowing into the kingdom concerning relationship with God. Let's take inventory. How many people have you blessed today? And I don't mean with a handshake. How many people have you deposited into encouragement? How many people have you embraced with love? See, it's a struggle because you're trying to figure out, well, that one looked at me funny. I turned my shoulder to that one, and I don't want to hear from that one. I don't know. Oh, I embraced my kids. Some people didn't embrace their kids this morning. That's a struggle. Grace, the Bible says, is sufficient for thee. Faith withdraws it from God. Grace puts on deposit all of God's goodness on your behalf. Faith accesses the deposit. Y'all with me? Works proves that you are exhibiting faith. Okay, that was quick. Let me go again. Grace puts on deposit all of God's goodness on your behalf. Faith accesses the deposit. Works proves that you are exhibiting faith. How do I know? Because the Bible says that faith without works is dead. So that gives you the answer concerning the accessibility of the deposit that he's already laid up for you. Oh, you're going to go back and get it. We're going to get it. It's free. It's free. Watch it. Works proves that you are exhibiting faith. Faith accesses grace, and grace has on deposit what you are looking for. Works don't get grace. Because the moment you attach works to grace, it's no longer called grace. Hey, somebody wrestling with it. Romans 11 and 6 says, once it's of works, it's no longer of grace. Works don't give you grace. Works just access faith, which accesses grace. Oh, man, you make sure you make 100 copies and give it out for free. That's how it flows. Somebody say it flows. That's how it flows. He says, put on the shield of faith. The shield of faith is a covering called faith. Faith is law. Romans 3 and 27 says, it calls it a rule where you operate in. You aren't supposed to be, watch this, you aren't supposed to be saved by grace. Watch this. Don't leave me yet. You aren't supposed to be just saved by grace, but Romans 1 says that you are to live by faith. Watch that. You're not just supposed to be saved by grace, but you're supposed to live by grace. So if I'm saved by grace and I'm living by faith, that means I'm walking by faith. That means I'm in relationship with the grace giver. I told you this morning, we want to seek out the blessings, and we're trying to find our destiny, and we want to know the plan, but we choose, or we fail at seeking out the planner. God, I want the plan, but seek the planner. I want to know what the plan is, seek the planner. I want to know my direction, but seek the person that's giving direction. I want to know. See, it's not enough for me just to, you know, chase after the plan. Because if I chase after the planner, I'll get everything that he houses for me. Oh, man, is this good teaching? All right. Here we go. So, faith should be your flow. In other words, in this culture, in this generation, faith should be your swag. Faith should be your swag. The Bible explains it that you should walk by faith, not by sight. It should be your way of travel. I travel by faith, not by sight. I walk by faith, not by sight. It's my way. It's my flow. It's my swag. It's my groove. It's my zone. But it must be linked to truth. Faith, if you want to be real, cannot be limited to what we know as the five senses. We try to link faith to the five senses. If you limit faith to your five senses, it will not be real faith. Because we're talking about accessing the invisible realm. Your five senses are for the natural, not the invisible. That's why you can't bring your natural into the invisible, because your natural can't function with the invisible. That's why what's in the invisible is a mystery to you and those of you that function in the natural. This walk is a spiritual walk, and these pieces of armor are spiritual. You can't put on these pieces, right, in the physical. Right, I relate it to back catchers equipment. Walk around and say, I'm fighting the devil. Because you'll be walking around with a catcher's helmet on still crazy. And anybody got to hit you in the head with no baseball, you just done lost your mind because you don't know how to fight in the invisible realm. Well, you know what? That's what I see the church sometimes, because we don't put on the coverings that we should live by and cover by. We don't put those coverings on, right? We don't put those, the helmet of salvation on, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the shield of faith, the sword of the spirit, feet of peace. We don't wear those. We only put those on Sunday. And I can tell you right now, if you only wear it on Sunday, it's going to get too small. It's going to get too small. Yeah, because these are daily things that you got to wear. Where do I need to wear them at, Pastor? I got to wear them in my home. I got to wear them with my kids. I got to wear them in my relationship, in my marriage, in my singleness, on my job, within my career, in the streets, in my car. I've got to wear them all over the place. You know why? Because the devil is after your mind. And if he can get into your mind, he can get into your body. And if he can get into your body, he will have your mind and your body, and he can take your life. It's about protection of the mind. Got folks walking around here speaking nothing into your life. Speaking nothing. Speaking nothing. You know, people, I struggle with people because when they speak things and they don't have understanding, you know, it tells me that you're kind of spoken out of turn. We used to do that, right? I had a ball player coming to the shop years ago. I was in Durham. I was cutting hair, and I ain't gonna mention his name because we don't do that. He walked in there. I said, man, this guy's arrogant. Come out of college, he made it into the league. I mean, he has such an arrogance. I watch what he drive up in. See what he get out of his car. Walk in, he don't speak. I said, man. Somebody shared with me one day, he said, well, maybe he's not arrogant. Maybe that you haven't given him a chance to get to know you, and you haven't given him a chance so that you can know him. Maybe you should get to know him. Right? And so as he continued to come to the shop, because, you know, I didn't cut his hair, so I'm like, he ain't put no money in my pocket, right? Right? I struggle with it, right? And making all this money, he need to be in my seat, my chair. All right, let me get some of that. I bet he doesn't even tip. That's what I was saying. And so I struggled. But as he continued to come to the shop, you know, we kind of had a mutual understanding. Because, you know, when you're elevated, people say, well, you can't change. Let me tell you why you got to change. Because people will take everything from you. In other words, you got to be careful, because people will take you for your placement or your position. Now, where I struggle at, because I believe in speaking to everybody. I don't care. Listen, yeah, you don't even have to be a Christian for me to speak to you. I'm helping the church. You don't even have to be a believer. I'm helping the church. This is discipleship. You see, the church has gotten to the place where if you're not a believer and you don't believe in the sixth senses, right? Well, I says you don't believe in the blood, then I got to turn you off. You can't come into my place, my establishment. Well, here's the first rule of thumb. It's not yours anyway. And where did you get too big, too bold, too brave to not bring in and open your doors to anybody? Hold on. That's not the flow of Jesus. The Jesus that I read about, the Jesus that I know, the Jesus that I have a relationship with, that's not what he exemplifies. Because he dealt with the lowest of the low. And what he did was he didn't trample over them, but as he was walking, he would pick them up. Oh, good God Almighty. He will, poof, let me scoop you up, right? Let you roll with me. Why don't you walk with me? In fact, I know that this is what you've been doing, but I want you to put up everything you consider your career, throw it all out, and walk with me. This is your new change. He's bad. So he gave life. And this is why, and this is the meaning of Hebrews 11 and 1, now faith. It's the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. If you can see it, it's not faith. It's not faith. If it's tangible and it's moving in the visible realm, it's not faith that God is talking about. That's just believing what you see. Anybody can have that. I believe that you're sitting in that chair right there. I believe it. I'm telling you, I got faith that you're sitting in that chair. That's not faith, Brother Carter. I can literally see that you're sitting in the chair. But guess what? Let me help you out with faith because you're part of the team. Let me go and deposit into your life. But what I can see in the invisible realm called vision is that you're going to be a man of great stature. What I can see, because I know your heart, is that you're going to be a great business owner. I see, watch this. This is a prophetic, why as it can be. I see your numbers increasing in your bank account. You know why? Because you remain humble. We saw you come in from the bottom because we have relationship. Now, you're not there yet, but I see it. Now, guess what? You've got to believe it. So you say, well, Pastor, I got faith. Well, stand up. I got faith. Well, stand up. Well, stand up. You say, I got faith. What you got to do now is walk it out. Let me see you walk out. You got to walk it out. Walk it out. You got to walk it out. You got to start walking. I didn't say clapping. You got to start walking. You got to walk in your destiny. You got to walk in your favor. You got to walk in it. Let me help you. See. God will tell you to do something that just doesn't make sense. I've never seen you walk now. I've never seen you run. That's instruction. Woo.
Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God.
Hey! Whoa! He said, walk by faith. When your walk turns into a run, I don't even know you, but I can tell you got faith. Faith hooks up with faith. I can tell you want to run with them. Go on and run, preacher. Go on and run. Go on and run. Now, watch this. Because of your faith, I didn't make you run. I put you on the spot. I didn't make you run, though. Because of your faith, and because faith hooked up with faith, now you two gonna bring back a testimony to God's house that's gonna encourage somebody over here. So, because you see it, and now you see the evidence of his faith, now you gotta walk. Now you gotta run. Now you gotta shout. I ain't got it yet, but I believe it's coming. So, faith is action. Faith without works is dead. You gotta walk it out. See, that's an increase. Cause some that wasn't clapping are now clapping. Some that were sitting are now standing. Faith is contagious. Say, somebody don't like it right here. Somebody don't like it. Faith is contagious. Faith is contagious. Somebody say contagious. Faith, somebody say faith is contagious. Devil don't like it. Devil don't like it. Devil don't like it. See, there's some people in here that's up walking around this facility that can barely move. There's some people in here that can barely walk, but they said, I've got faith the size of a mustard seed. I've got a little bit of faith that can increase my movement. A little bit of faith that will catapult me to the next level. Just small faith. Somebody just scream right here. Yeah, yeah. That's how I feel. That's how I feel. Can somebody scream for Jesus? That's how I feel. That's how I feel. When the devil shows up, I ain't got to quote scripture. Ah! Yeah. 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 Yes, sir. I love it. You know, David struggled with this thing a little bit. Yeah. David said, you know, Saul, you invited me in and you want to give me some armor that's not fit for me. Yeah. Saul said, you need this for battle. I'm going to hook you up. I'm going to take you in my dressing room. I want you to take everything that I've fought battle with and I want you to put it on. But you can't put on nobody else's garments. You got to put on what God has for you. Yeah. Yeah. You see, when David was in battle, the scripture says that he would sing a little song, and they would be like, the Lord is my light and my salvation. He says, you know what, I'm not scared. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Watch this. When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, and them jokers who don't like me showed up. When they show up, the war shall rise against me. In this will I be confident. Oh, he's confident in a crazy situation. Got jokers all around him. Devil fighting at him. In this will I be confident. He says, one thing I have desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in a time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret place of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock, and now shall my head be lifted up. Where is it going to lift up at? Lifted up the glory above my enemies, above those devils, above my enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing a new song. I will sing a new song. No more head humble. No more moping around. I will sing a new song. He's my joy. He's my peace. He's my rock at the bottom. I will bless the Lord. I will bless the Lord. I will bless the Lord at all times. All times. Somebody say all times. All times. Where my help at? Where my preachers at? Come on. Where my help at? I will bless the Lord at all times. I will. This is for you. Bless the Lord at all times. I will. In season. Out of season. In season. Out of season. I will bless the Lord at all times. I will. I will. I will. Bless the Lord at all times. I will bless the Lord.
I will bless the Lord.
Hey, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praises shall continually be in my mouth. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
Woo!
Thank you. Hey, God.
I will bless the Lord to the bottom of my being, to the top of my head, to the depths of my pain. I bless the Lord to the source of my pain. I bless the Lord to the long weeks of working. I bless the Lord to the hurt of my soul. I bless the Lord no matter. I bless the Lord, the hurt in my back now. I bless the Lord, the pain in my feet now. I bless the Lord, no matter the trouble now. I bless the Lord, when my sight is gone now. I bless the Lord, when I lose my touch now. I bless the Lord, when I lose my voice, when I can't feel nothing now. I bless the Lord.
I will bless the Lord at all times, because he is worthy. Worthy are you, Lord. Worthy are you, Lord. Worthy are you, Lord. I will bless the Lord at all times, because he is worthy. He is worthy. He is worthy of all our praise. I will bless the Lord. I'll bless the Lord when my marriage fails. I'll bless the Lord when they say I got cancer. I'll bless the Lord when they say I can't have kids. I'll bless the Lord when I'm broke. I'll bless the Lord when I'm homeless. I'll bless the Lord. I'll bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. I'll bless the Lord if I can't see it. I'll bless the Lord if I can't feel it. I'll bless the Lord at all times. Because he is worthy. He is worthy to be praised. I'll bless the Lord at all times.
I will bless the Lord at all times. When I'm up and when I'm down. When I have money in my pocket. When I'm broke. I will bless the Lord. No matter.
Yeah. Let everybody bless the Lord. Let everybody bless the Lord. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We've come too far to be pretty with it. I mean, we've come too far to be worried about your makeup and your hair coming out. We've come too far. Too far. God has been too good. He's been too good to let any neighbor stop my praise. I want us to continue to just feel the atmosphere with hand clapping and praises from our mouth. Come on. Yeah. This is what it's about. Yeah. Yeah. Come on, somebody shout glory. Somebody shout glory. I want to pray.